Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
The films of Ingmar Bergman.
Well, who could forget her in Casablanca, huh?
No. You're thinking of Ingrid Bergman. I'm talking about Ingmar Bergman.
Ingmar Bergman, the boxer?
You're thinking of Ingmar Johansson. You mean the guy who knocked out Floyd Patterson?
No. Sonny Liston knocked out Patterson.
Well, who knocked out Johansson?
Patterson.
Before Liston.
No, Johansson knocked out Liston.
Well, who knocked out Patterson?
Was it Ingrid Bergman? No. Ingrid Bergman.
Shut up! One more word. I came in here to discuss Ingmar Bergman, not to start an Abbott and Costello routine.
Actually, I thought it was more like Martin and Lewis, wasn't it?
You mean Joe Lewis?
Oh, he's the one who knocked out Floyd Patterson.
And who knocked out Lou Costello?
Apparently, Ingrid Bergman.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me again, the host of her own Cheers podcast called Norm. Please welcome back Marlene Stemme. What's up, Marlene?
Hey, Ryan. It's good to see you. Good to be back.
Good to have you back, too, of course, as always. And folks, we are now on Season 7, Episode 15, Don't Paint Your Chickens. Written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, February 23rd, 1989. Rebecca interviews for a new position as a marketing executive at the company, but is sure they'll pass her up like they always do. Meanwhile, Norm's painting business has stalled due to his lack of promotion and general effort. Rebecca convinces Norm to partner with her to grow his business through an aggressive marketing campaign, thus convincing her company that she's the right woman for the executive position. Norm lands a big client thanks to Rebecca, but the company hires someone else as the new marketing VP. Anyway, finally fed up, Rebecca storms off to corporate to tell the CEO what she thinks. Norm pursues her, trying to save her job. Against all of her instincts, Rebecca finally summons the courage to tell the CEO off to his face, and he responds, shockingly, by appreciating her frank honesty and offering her the promotion she has always dreamed of. But then, he's arrested for insider trading, and Rebecca is back to her job at Cheers. Meanwhile, Sam tries to date a younger woman obsessed with physical fitness and activity by showing her he's still in as good a shape as he was in his professional athlete days. When his body can no longer give him the strength, however, he's forced to break up with the girl, claiming that it's she who is incapable of keeping up with his physical demands, which backfires spectacularly in his face. All right, Marlene, what did you think about this episode?
When I first watched it, and really until very recently, I liked it okay, but it wasn't one that was like a particular favorite, and I think I underappreciated some aspects of it, but I talked to somebody that had never seen it before, and he loved it. So I think that I've noticed different things in sort of like giving an internal character portrait, I guess, of Rebecca. I've always liked her business connection with Norm. I always thought that was an interesting part of the show and a lot of fun, very funny. And I think there was one of your episodes in season 6. I can't remember who was the guest, but he said something about Norm understanding Rebecca's corporate frustrations and things like that. So I thought that that was kind of a cool comment. Mm-hmm. And I think that this one carries on that, you know, that that sort of story with his business and so forth. But I love Rebecca when she's like very dry humored and witty and improvisational. And in this, she's more kind of like exuberant and desperate, which is not my favorite thing. But I think it's just another side of her that is worth exploring that I like. So yeah, I'm kind of like learning to appreciate it more. I think there's kind of a dreamlike quality to the ending too that I wanted to mention when we get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, well, I mean, I'm sure you'll get there, but it's just, it's so ludicrous that I think that was the thing that I didn't like about it, and now I'm seeing it a bit differently. And then the teaser that we're probably going to get into is one of my favorites in all of Cheers. So that's, you know, that's an extra star right there. Mm-hmm. It's just gold.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I've mentioned a lot, like, we're now getting into a phase where I remember watching these episodes in real time when they aired, and they all had just, like, something. Maybe it was a scene, maybe it was one joke, but, like, something about them that was memorable, but it was a hook. frequently it was like something like when they left the bar, because that was so like uncharacteristic. Like when they go skydiving or something, that left a mark.
Great.
And for this one, it was seeing Norm on the scaffolding outside that window, banging on the window, trying to be let in and everything as it starts to rain, as a window washer and everything. And obviously, we'll come back to that one because that's how the episode ends. So I've always had that vivid memory of this episode that has struck me. But yeah, this is another one, and it's crept up. It started off slow, but it's built up over the last two seasons. Is scenes with Rebecca and Norm just have this wonderful quality, and they vary from time to time. There's like different energy. Obviously, the last episode she planned a kiss on him, which was very unusual and interesting.
But did apologize.
But
to
she did apologize. And he's like, you don't owe me the apology. My wife does. But yeah, and that is a good point. Even though at this point in the life of the show and in the life of Norm, he's now this independent contractor painter that he has his own little business, such as it is. But certainly when we first met him, when we knew him before, he was an accountant working in a very professional corporate kind of culture and everything. So he's used to that. He recognizes the world that Rebecca occupies. The difference is she has ambition. He never had any. Like that's where they really differ. But so yeah, he can kind of relate to that in some way.
I think too, it's interesting because I think he obviously doesn't care. When he was in the corporate world, he obviously was not interested in it, and he was very honest about it. I think she's not suited for it either, but she's not honest about it. She thinks she wants to have this ambition, but she's really better suited for a small business just like he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's just he knows himself and she doesn't, so
right. He is probably the most self-aware character of anybody in the bar. You brought up the teaser to this one is like one of those all-timers that like if you were going to sell somebody on what is great about Cheers and the timelessness and the funny, even though it is ostensibly borrowing a comedy trope a bit dating back to vaudeville. So Frasier comes into the bar, tells everybody that he is writing a psychological piece and wants their feedback, of course. It's like, why? Frasier, you got to know your audience better. But he addresses that by saying he wants to know if this piece is accessible to the layman. They don't take offense to that. Why would they? But it's
I think he also wants to show them a little bit about what he does, too. Like, he's always trying to mix his world.
Right. The topic of this piece that he's writing about is the Swedish filmmaker Ingmar Bergman. So he wants to read it to the gang to see if it's successful. And he starts, the first joke is that he's like, I want your opinion. And Carlo's like, sure, buy a new suit, get a haircut, and stay home. And he's, thank you, Carlo. He starts to
read. She gets her licks in.
He starts to read the piece. He reads the title, and instantly, when he's talking
that's
about
the best part too, I think.
Yeah. What is the title? Like the poet of the subconscious.
Ingmar of the subconscious.
Yeah. And when he first mentions Ingmar Bergman, Norm confuses him with Ingrid Bergman from Casablanca. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's the actress. And then Woody confuses Ingmar Bergman with a different Swede, but a Swedish boxer named Ingmar Johansson. And they're like, oh, is that the one who knocked out Floyd Patterson? And this launches us into our, basically our Abbott and Costello type of routine, which involves Sam, Norm, Woody, Cliff, and the tertiary guys like Alan, some of the other bar guys asking, like, who was it, Sonny Liston who knocked out Floyd Patterson? So who knocked out Johansson? Well, that was Patterson. No, that was before Liston. Who knocked out Patterson? Was it Ingrid? And Woody's like, was it Ingrid Bergman?
Ingrid Bergman?
and this goes on until Frasier, one of his best, well, I don't want to say it's his best line reading because that might actually be later on in the episode, but Frasier just erupting, shut up.
Right. And his dramatic poses where he has his eyes closed and he's holding the bar,
His frustration is just palpable. And he launches it. He's criticizing them, but again, it's like, Frasier, the audience, who do you think you're talking to? And he's like, I came here to discuss Ingmar Bergman, not to get into an Abbott and Costello routine. And Norm Crane, he's like, actually, I think it was more like Martin and Lewis, referring to Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And but Sam was like, you mean Joe Lewis? And like, he's the one who knocked out Floyd Patterson.
It starts again.
And yeah, the back and forth, the quality of this, the how comfortable they are, and how what they can do with this scene is just this was magical. This was so funny. So
it really was. Because they're all just like kind of eating bar snacks and kind of hanging on the bar, having this discussion amongst themselves, while Frasier is just basically the one that's peppering enough in there to get the conversation going.
Right. And this, like, I love it, like, when they can kind of get lost in these, like, these minutia of just, like, back and forth type of conversations that are meaningless. And then they kind of, somebody tries to pull them back, and then they get just ripped back into it. They can't take it seriously. Like, this goes all the way back to the pilot episode when they're talking about the sweatiest movie of all time. Right. And they, like, they think they have it settled. And then they ask Diane's boyfriend, of all people, the professor. And he's like, Cool Hand Luke. And they're like, cool yeah, okay, that's a good one.
Right. And Diane was like, at that time. Yeah, that
Diane was like, I was asking for your help, and you're just sucked into this.
There's one when she comes in. It's I don't know, maybe it's one of the very early seasons, but she's gone to an Indian film festival and they start talking about like Fort Apache and then like all of the things about the weird things that their bodies do and so forth. There's something like that, you know, like the hair standing up on their arms and then like, oh, can you do this? And she has the same reaction.
She screams. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, and then they go back into it. I think this is the pinnacle. This is my favorite one of that type. I think it was so good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And Frasier just adds so much. Even when it's not, I mean, this is kind of his story. It's his little tiny story in the teaser, but even just as the person that's not, doesn't become the main point of the discussion, he adds so much to it, I think, too. So.
Well, even though he is firmly entrenched within this group and he might be reluctant to admit that these are his friends, possibly his best friends.
Right.
But I think he would at least argue that he's got one foot out of the bar and he's still got one foot in his profession and psychological and like academia and like the sort of he's superior to them. And I think part of that just resonates with one of the greatest things about Kelsey Grammer, a performer in this show, is his reactions. Like, almost as funny as the way he delivers any line is when Norm or Cliff say something ridiculous, and you just see him shaking his head or rolling his eyes.
Head or leaning like, right.
Like, there are episodes when he barely does anything, but you just look at him in the background like, he must be having so much fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just the physical comedy, that's a different type of physical comedy. It's almost like he's doing Shakespeare, like drama, but in a funny way or something. I don't know how to, it's probably not the best description, but there's just something that's so overwrought, but it really fits. It's good. He did a lot of that in this teaser, right?
Yeah. So after the credits, we jump into the episode and Carla tells Cliff and Frasier that Rebecca is at this power lunch for corporate trying to suck up. And Cliff is disgusted. He's like, he would never kneel down, try to kiss up to his bosses at the post office. And Frasier's now like, well, we'll remember that whenever we desire to have a job where you have to wake up at 4 a.m, walk a 15-mile route to make the minimal base salary. And Cliff, at first, he's like, he doesn't realize that he's being insulted right away. It takes a minute for him to think about it. He's like, hey, wait a minute. He's like, it's not that easy. I had to take a test. Yeah. Then we get an attractive young woman comes in. The woman is Erin, who is played by... Where did I put my notes? Erin is played by Lisa Aleph. She appeared in a lot of stuff around this time. The show Freddy's Nightmares, Dear John, Anything But Love, Full House. She was in the episode. You Can't Take It With You. So she comes in. She's dressed for tennis. And Cliff is like, yeah, shouldn't somebody alert Sammy?
Alert like, Sam. Oh,
he already knows. I think he'll be here, and she does the countdown. She's like, 3, 2, 1, and like 1.5, 2 seconds kind of go by, and then boom, Sammy comes out of the basement storage room holding like a case of beer or something, and he's just like, where is she?
We're looking for a woman, right?
And Carla's like, you know what, he's running, he's a little bit slower than he used to be, but he's still got it. And Sam hears this, and he's like, give me a break, there's lead pipes down there. It's like, as if that throws off his radar, his sense or something like that. There's some kind of interference. And then this was the part where it's like, okay, like, you'd never think about this part unless you have to scrutinize this show for a podcast, as we do. Erin orders an Evian bottled water. why, like, of all, like...
Did she come to a bar?
Why did she come to a bar? Like, a downstairs, you have to, like, go down a flight of stairs into, like, this dingy little alleyway into what is, like, not a fitness or club or even, like, a brightly lit bar and anything like that.
Just, or something, right, on the street or whatever, right.
To, yeah, to order a bottled water.
It's a good question.
Like,
right.
And, like, clearly she's coming from practice, like the gym or something, like, where you could have gotten that or something, but...
The Evian, right. Or, like, she's, like... going to go there anyway and just happen to get a water. Yeah.
Right, right.
That's a good point.
Right. Of course, if she doesn't do that, we don't have a B plot. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But, yeah.
It's a good point, though.
Yeah, I noticed that, so. And then she mentions that she's into a lot of sports and physical activities, and Sam offers to join her doing this. She kind of rolls her eyes a little bit, almost laughs at him, like, I don't think you're up to it. And he kind of, like, I'm almost surprised that he was as honest in his own way by saying he's got a couple, 5-15 years on you.
That was pretty honest. Like, later he kind of covers it even, like, more than that, I think. Right. But 15, it's like, okay, yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. And I mean, the actress does look very young. I don't know how old she's supposed to be or how old, but, like, she's got a very young-looking face. Like... I don't know if she could have played a teenager in another show, but it wouldn't have surprised me.
Right.
So
she's young and she has an unbelievable amount of energy.
Right.
That's, I mean, just not even young people have that much energy. Actually,
yeah.
Here and then in the later scene when she comes in with, like, the hiking backpack.
Yeah.
Good night.
And, like almost seemed to have, like, a natural bounce in her step when she's carrying that, and not, like, in a... Not like a naturally sexy way or something like that. Just seemed
like a
physical thing about her. She's just, yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, but so, like, he's like, no, I'll prove it. I used to be a professional athlete. And he swings over the bar.
Right.
Not as gracefully as Woody does, but better than he has in the past. He's,
right.
He does. And he asks, he's like, punch me in the chest if, you know, if I can't take it or something, then I'll leave you alone and everything like that. Doesn't take a lot of convincing. She throws her hand pretty fast.
Yeah. And she does, I think he says the stomach, and she hits him more, like, in the chest rather than in
the
stomach.
Yeah, it was like the breastbone.
So I'm like, that could hurt, even if you're in, like, good shape. Like,
yeah.
Might not be too comfortable.
But, obviously, it's pretty tight, and she's impressed, so she's like, all right. So she takes him up on the offer and everything like that, and she takes out, they make a date, she'll come back, and they'll see each other. And Woody's like, is that girl going out with you just because you let him punch her? You let her punch you in the stomach? And he's like, no, she's going out with me because how does it feel? Like, I'm a lean.
It's like a lean meat or something about
muscular
his
hunk or something crowd. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Woody laughs. He's like, no, really? Why is it? And, and Sam was like, just try this. You know, like, women might be into this. He's like, just, you know, give it a shot. So Woody walks up to another girl who's just sitting alone at the bar, reading or something like that, minding her own business.
Yeah.
He's like, would you like to go out with me? And she's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. So Woody points to Sam. He's like, what if you punch that guy in the chest? Or, yeah, what if I said you could punch him in the stomach? And she's like, no, I'm not.
The timing of that is so good, too. That was good.
And Sam, like, whispers to Woody in Woody's ear. He's like, you're not getting this right. He's like, oh, yeah, punch me in my stomach, Sam? Get out of here. Then we get Rebecca returning
from... And Sam kind of apologizes to that woman, I noticed, too. He's like, sorry.
Then we get Rebecca coming back from her interview at corporate. She's feeling confident, like she kicked ass and kept their attention throughout the whole thing. Like, she was giving a presentation, they were hanging on her every word, eyes never drifted away, and she's giving all this. As she's explaining this, she takes off her blazer to reveal a rather large, impossible not to notice ink stain on her skirt. And Sam was like, were you by any chance writing notes or something with a fountain pen? She's like, yeah, my lucky fountain pen. He's like, you mean your leaky fountain pen? And she's freaking out. She's like, oh my god, this is, like, worse and everything. And then you know this is coming. Like, as soon as they see it, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do a Rorschach joke here about, like, a Rorschach.
Yeah.
And they do. And Woody's like, it's not so bad. It kind of looks like a bunny. Carla, of course, she's like, I think it looks more like a spider. I'm like, really, Carla? What does that say? And Sam's like, I think it looks like a butterfly. And then Cliffy, I think it looks like my parents having a screaming argument on my third birthday when I pretended to be asleep but wasn't. And they just look at him like, why isn't Fraser here to diagnose this?
And it almost looks like he's a little bit under a spell, like remembering that time. You know?
He went somewhere to retrieve that memory, that recall. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of, he notices they're all sort of, he's like, or it's a butterfly. Norm comes in. He was supposed to have a painting job, but he didn't show up on the right day, so they replaced him. He's like it would have killed them to open the restaurant a day later, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's just how Norm sees life, I think. Takes it in stride.
And Cliff makes up for his earlier awkwardness with a really good line, I think. He's like, mm-hmm. Norm might be the greatest house painter, although who could tell the difference? He's like, but he's a terrible businessman. And this sparks something in Rebecca. She's like, hang on a second. She's like, I got this great idea. She will combine her business acumen and marketing strategies to help Norm succeed, and it will make her look good in front of her bosses. How does she say, like, if she can get some beer-guzzling nobody to succeed, then that'll really show her bosses. And Norm's like, well, I like your pitch. It sounds
good. As much as I love your pitch.
But Norm says he doesn't want to get into business with friends, and she's like, forget about friends. Think about this just coldly logical business. Please, please, please. And she, like, throws herself over the bar, begging him. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we need the following joke, but I'm really surprised that Norm didn't just cave in at that point, just like the way she's begging him, and just say, okay, whatever. But he still he stands up, and he starts to walk away. He's like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do this. This is a bad idea. And she's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go back to looking at these old delinquent bar tabs or something like that. And she's like, whoa, look at this one here.
In the pee section. In the pee section.
Which, if this was your first episode and you didn't know what Norm's last name was, he's like, well, welcome to Team Peterson. And then thus explaining the joke a little bit. So
she tries like a business ploy and then the personal and then the threat. Of the bar tab.
That's it. Which, now that I think about it, comes back again later in the episode. That's like the one thing that motivates him to do the right thing twice in this episode is the threat of having to pay off his bar tab.
And do something. Yeah.
Right. We'll come back to that one, yeah. At some point, a few days later, probably, Sam is preparing for a date with Aaron. After just going cycling, they're now getting ready to jog because he's in like... There's like fitness episode with like the bike shorts and everything on a shirt, but he's got to go home to change because they're going to go running. And it's like, really? Like back to back? Like, this is kind of getting a little bit crazy. And he tells the gang that they're jealous because he's getting in shape. He's discovering muscles that he didn't know he had. And Ted Danson has this great little moment where he's like rotating his shoulder. Ooh, there's one right there.
There's one.
So. And, he goes to leave, and then as he's doing that, Cliff is kind of mentioning to Norm, like, you know what's wrong with our lives? And Norm's like, I do, yeah. It's like, we both have jobs that we hate for bad pay. It's like, we spend all our lives just drinking beer, gossiping like old women, he says. And everyone thinks we're doofuses. And Cliff is like, I was just going to say we could use more exercise, but yeah, I think you got it.
I'll go with what you said. And it's just a discussion. It doesn't change anything. They're just commenting on what's wrong with our lives. Nope. Move on. Yeah.
And now Rebecca comes in. She has she's redone Norm's entire business, rebranded it as 4A Painting. And they're like, why did you come up with 4A? She's like, well, it keeps our name first in the phone book. It's easy for people to find us. They're like, why not AAA? She's like, that's the auto club. And Woody's like, wait, AAA does jumper cables and they'll paint your house? He's like, well, Rebecca unveils the new mascot, Carl Chameleon. Why? And she's like, well, like all chameleons, Carl changes colors, and so should your house. And she does this great little promo, little pitch right in front of them and everything. And you just see Norm just sitting there. He's taking it in. He's like, I hate everything about this, but it's important to her. It's fine. Yeah.
Did you see at one point Fraser kind of comes in toward the bar and Rebecca is like just jubilant and she kind of turns the presentation to him for a second so he can see it and then like turns back.
Yeah, he's coming out of the pool room to kind of just watch, like, what is going on here? And Rebecca, she's talking about, she's got her whole new mantra that just do it, babe, just do it, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And she's going to set up their advertising budget and go through all these things, get like a new phone for the bar that's just for their line and everything. Norma's like, this is a lot. How much is this going to cost? She's like, $2,000. And he's like, Norm goes, I'm beginning to think AAAA painting is going to cost me AAAA fortune. And what is like, it's also making you stutter.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I've got to do something, but Norm can't fire Rebecca. He doesn't have that in. Fraser's like, yeah, letting someone go can be emotionally difficult. It's very degrading for them. You see them at their weakest. And Carla's like, I'll do it. Can I do it? I'll fire her for you. She's right jumping up. And Fraser's like, no, Carla, this has got to be something that Norm does himself. You gotta man up to this, and they kind of bolster his confidence a little bit, and he does that, gets his mean voice on that he has to summon from time to time, and stalks into Rebecca's office to fire her, and it comes out like 5 seconds later after going like, doing the growl for her. And they're like, how'd it go? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, we settled on a voice for Carl Chameleon.
You know what this reminds me of? In season 6, in what is the one? It's the one where they have the carnival raffle. Like it's Our Daily Bread when they're talking about, like, what do you want? They're talking about raises. Like, Woody wants a raise or hasn't had a raise in a while and goes in the office for a raise. And you first time, like, you see the whole thing where she kind of like improvises and gives him a title. And then Sam goes in, and at the end, Carla goes in, and she's in there for like 2 seconds and comes out and says she's the managing director of waitresses. So it's just like Rebecca cooking up stuff. Yeah. Like, again, like, that's what I love about her. So you know that she probably suspected something was going on and was like, oh, this would be a great voice part, you know, and just improvise on the spot. It just said that the door opening and him coming back out reminded me of that part. It's fun.
And a little bit later, they now have their own little table set up. With the phone and everything for their whole little business. That's they can fit their business right there on one of the bar tables, and he still has enough for his glass. And AAAA painting gets a phone call, and Carla takes it. She's like, "Yes, yep. Okay, can you tell me where did your car break down?" paying off the AAA joke from earlier. And she tells the driver, she's like, okay, one of our trucks will be there in 30 to 40 minutes. Don't leave your car.
Don't.
It's so cruel. And then mention something like she's gonna drive by that person on her way home and shout something at them.
right. She's so excited about it. Yeah. I noticed too that Rebecca has on like the 4A hat, and Norm is just like sitting there forlornly holding it in his hands. He's not even enthusiastic at that point.
And then they actually get a legit call about a painting job and everything, and she's so excited holding the phone trying to give it to Norm. She's like, Norm, somebody wants to paint something. it's just a great victory for them and everything.
Yeah.
So Norm takes it, and he takes the call, and he schedules it. It's this building condo or something like that, or with like numerous apartments and everything. They're having a dispute with the other painting company that they hired, so they're going to Norm's instead to kind of resolve the situation. So he's like, "Yep, there's a job and everything like that," and she is super pumped. Stepping
and
away from the head for a little
in the call too, like they give the like what is it like? Thank you for making 4A
your
painting.
4A.
Like she's reciting it with him, and then. Yes. The closing statement.
4A painting, your foray into painting. Yeah. You got their whole little shtick, and now we see Sam in like khakis, a flannel shirt, boots, hiking boots and everything with his hiking backpack on and everything. And he's like full of gear, ready to hike up a mountain for this girl and everything like that. And he goes to the bar, and Fraser's going to help him strap on the backpack and get everything. And Fraser's talking about how he's really proud of Sam for taxing his body and working so hard to stay active. And Sam just puts his head on Fraser's chest. And he's like, make it stop. Make it stop. The facade crumbles so quickly. He's like, he says his muscles are forming a conspiracy to kill him just so that they can rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Fraser's like, Sam.
But he's still, there's some point where it's a, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that at some point when he's saying something like being not as young as he was or something like that, but he's like, he makes some comment to kind of curtail that, and he sort of like looks over and nods at the woman that's at the bar, so he's still, trying to maintain.
Because Frasier's like, you might have to admit a harsh truth to yourself here, Sam. And Sam's like, you mean that I'm 30? And that's, I think that's when he kind of looks at the woman at the bar, like, yeah. And Frasier's just like, I wouldn't do anything that drastic, Sam, yeah. But just admit that you are getting a little bit older and all this physical activity, it's taking its toll on you. It might be a little bit too much. You have to slow down. And at that point, Erin comes in, and she's, like, ready to punch him again. She's so excited. Again, bouncing, basically, so with this hiking pack on. And he's like, look, sit down. We got to talk about this. He's like, I can't do this. I can't do this hike with you. And she's like, why not? He's like, all this physical activity is too much for you. And she's like, what? He's like, look, I like to go, go, go. And he's like snapping his fingers. He's like, you're slowing me down, kiddo, and everything like that. And it's just, it's so pathetic. But as we love to see with Sam, Mr. Comeuppance lurking right over the shoulder, because she's like, you know what? This is a relief, because I've been thinking that all I really want is somebody who can join me in a hot bubble bath and lay in bed with me all weekend or something. She's like, bye, Sam.
She does not miss a beat either. She doesn't take a second to think about what is my response going to be to this. It's just like no time goes by. It was good.
And she's out of there so fast that Sam even does a little like reaching for her as she goes. He's like, wait, no.
It's like a tired reaching after her.
And she goes, and he kind of sits there and kind of like has this moment of what just happened. And looks back at Frasier. And this is where I was like, what might be my other favorite line reading that Frasier does after the shut up part, where he's just kind of smugly, like, rubbing his chest over, like, well, that was kind of ironic, wasn't it, Sam?
Or so, that gee, might be like, my top gee, line. One like, of them.
Gee, that was sort of ironic, wasn't it? And Sam is just like, almost like dead to the world, just this expression. He's just like, all of this, he's like, I am in so much pain and so tired that I don't have I can't exert enough energy to be sad about this or upset. So he's like, I'm going to go home and die or something like that.
Take a nap or whatever. Something.
Walks out. Rebecca comes out of the office, then she's feeling really good about herself, and they get a phone call at the bar, and Woody's like, guess who the new VP of marketing is? And she's like, really? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's Henry Weinberg. Do you know him?
Right. That's the part where she introduces her motto, I think, and she's like, just do it, babe. That's my motto. And like kind of is like pulling Norman Cliff in, you know, or there's a line, something like women on the, what is it, on the rise make calls, we don't take calls.
Yes,
but she's almost huddling with them like they're on a team together.
Yes,
it's so funny.
And she's like, Henry, like 5'3", too stupid to wipe the dandruff off his glasses or something. Weinberg? And what he's like, they didn't say his middle name, but maybe. I think it's the same guy. She has this thing where she's trying to sound grammatically correct, but she's like, there is some crap up with it, which I will not put.
And it's an angry grammatically correct, too. Yeah. It's like she's so angry that she's speaking in like very formal, proper grammar.
Such a righteous indignation that she's like storms off to the company, and they're like, Look, no. She's like, I'm not putting up with any more crap. I'm going to tell the CEO exactly what I think of it, that I'm not getting this recognition. And she, like, Norm stops her at the door. He's like trying to stop her. He's like, wait, shouldn't you wait to see if our business is a little bit more solid before you throw away your job at the company? And she's like, no, damn it. I believe in you. I believe in the company. I believe in us. I'm doing it, babe. And, you know, just sticking to her mantra. And she's out the door. As she opens the door, right there in the stoop, right in front of the door, on the floor is Sam curled up. We don't even see his head, so it was probably like a stunt actor, an extra or something, just lying there almost in a fetal position at the foot of the stairs.
He's not sprawled out. He's kind of like neatly compact in the fetal position. And she's just like, excuse me, Sam. Like, she takes a step and then she's like, very polite. Just like,
and like, she probably, like, I don't even know if, like, at this point they didn't have a scene together, so she might not have any idea what's going on.
But she's like, right.
Sure, this is one of my bartenders, like, asleep on the stairs, but who cares? Whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, he's going through stuff. I got my own stuff. So.
Some stuff going on. Right.
And she's out of there. And then another one of those like meta jokes that I love, because the phone rings and Norma's like, what is it about Rebecca's history that makes me think this is not going to be good news?
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up the phone and he's like, yes, I knew it. I knew it.
I knew
yeah.
that.
Yeah. He's like, I already knew this. Yeah. Okay. And he hangs up and he's like, yeah, the other company that, or the company that hired us settled their dispute with the other painter. So obviously they were just leveraged the whole time, which you should have figured. So yeah, he's like, so we lost that job. And he's like, somebody should probably go and tell Rebecca, right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, then again, she really seemed excited
and confident. Yeah.
This may be what she really wants to do. And who knows? This might end up being the best thing for her. It's like, what could be the worst that would happen? And Cliff's like, well, we could get a new bar manager. And Norm's like, my bar tab could fall into the wrong hands. And he's dashing out the door as fast as we've ever seen him. So again, twice in this episode, the things that motivate Norm to act are the threat of having to pay for his beers. Yeah.
Right. Which is... it's self-ironic because it's like what he really wants to do is sit there and drink more beer and be with his friends. And in order to do that, he has to like jump up and rush to hear this so that he can get back.
Yes, he actually has to work in order to reward himself by sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah. Norm can move once in a while when he has to.
He does have
to. For such an occasion.
Yeah. And of course, as he's running out the door, we get the joke one more time. Sam is still down there because they had to remind us. Sam is still on the phone. He's like, hey, Sammy, nice socks, man. He's like,
yeah.
And then we cut to the corporate, the headquarters of Lillian, and Norm is rushing in, continuing the throughway. He's like, rushing in. He's out of breath, winded, as he comes to the secretary's desk. And the secretary in the credits is Mrs. Rosenbush, played by Sarah Marshall, who appeared in the movies Dave, which one of my favorite comedies. She was also in the movie Dangerous Minds. She was in the show Small Wonder, Heart to Heart, a lot of other stuff. Norm gets to her desk and he's just panting heavily and everything, just like, and he's like, I'm sorry, I just ran here. And she's like, up 40 flights of stairs? Like, no, from the elevator.
Yeah. She's like, are you all right? I really like that secretary. She's kind of quirky. Like, she's like a character that would be on like the old Bob Newhart show or Carol Burnett or just something like that. The quirky secretary type.
And she's calling, he's like, is this the CEO's office? I have to go in there. She's like, you can't just walk in there. He's like, well, you can't stop me. And she's like, security? And he's like, oh, well, some old security guard is going to come in. He's like, I can sing, and I don't even remember what musical he refers to. But
it was the score of The Barber of Seville before your radio, of all things.
I was like, is that even a Norm reference? Shouldn't that have been one of the other characters? But, and then he has like his hand on the door, and a much younger, much taller, much more strongly built security guard than I think he was anticipating walks in. He's like, is there a problem? And Norm's like, not if I leave right now.
That's another, that line delivery is another one of my favorite lines, I think, in the episode. Not if I leave now, no.
And then inside the CEO's office, it's Mr. Anwalt, played by Stephen Gerrish. Who was in the movie Carrie, High Plains Drifter. He was in the show ER, The Practice, lots of stuff like that. He's on the phone. Rebecca is waiting to be seen by him, but she's in his office, just sitting on the couch by the door. And he's taking some call and telling them to do something. He's like, just do it. Do it. And we cut to Rebecca like, that's my line.
Hey.
Again, more of that indignation that she feels. So he hangs up, and again, like, just putting the capper on the disrespect this company has for her. You're like, Ms. Harris, I understand you're looking for a job in the company. She's like, it's Ms. Howe, and I already work for the company. And he's like, all right, everything's settled. He's like, show yourself out. Yeah. And she kind of launches into this little tirade and everything, and she's like, She mentions that having worked there for 6 years, she explains, she says, not less than 36 people have passed her in the corporate ladder. It's like, that's rough.
Yeah.
And then at this point, she's about to pour her heart out and tell him what he thinks when we see the window scaffolding, or the scaffolding outside for the window washer, coming down everything.
Yeah, and Norm, you can kind of hear it a little bit, too.
Yeah. And it's like jiggling a little, and Norm is holding the control with a big sign that says, no job, and he's like pointing at it, trying to get her attention. And the guy's like, the CEO is like, what the hell is that? And Rebecca's like, apparently it's an out-of-work window washer.
Window
washer. And Norma's trying to stop the thing. He's holding the controller, like thumbing the button, but it's not stopping. The scaffolding just keeps on going lower and lower to drop him out of the scene. So, and he was like, well, you were saying something about being treated like hell. And she's like, but I've never been happier. And you see, oh, it's the return of the Rebecca that we know, the Rebecca that throws her dignity away at the drop of a hat just to take care of a dog or to throw a party
to do anything
she wants for this company. And she's like, I would never want to do anything to, you know, to make you feel like I'm not. And it's so pathetic. And she starts to walk away, but only for a minute, because she stops herself before she gets out. She's like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it,
Dave. Yeah.
And she tells him that he wouldn't know a good advertising executive if one bit him on the butt. And he's like, what? And
She kind of goes through, like, from one extreme to the other there.
Yeah, she's like really thrown in the face.
And then, like, really aggressive. Yeah,
yeah. And she's, how does she say? She says something like, I'm smarter than half the people here. I'm like, you're really trying to sell yourself. I think you could up the ratio there, but
that's what I thought too.
But, like only half the people, but she's like, if you can't see that I'm smarter and better, then you're either blind or a buffoon. Take your pick. And he's like, really taken aback by her, and then she's like, now if you'll excuse me, I need to go back to Cheers, where I'm sure all of my belongings will be waiting for me in a hefty bag on the street. And she starts, and he's like, Ms. Howe, and she's like, what do you want? And she kind of like stops, still full of anger, like biting back at him.
Right.
And he mentioned that she had a lot of nerve to talk to him like that, and he's like, I like people with nerve. And he's like, he's actually genuinely impressed by her courage and the confidence that she's showing. And he brings it back to the old folktale. He's like, I've been looking for that brave child who can say the brave emperor child has no clothes.
That's such an interesting phrase, too, a brave child. Like, that's why it's a little surreal, this part.
Well, because that story wasn't really about the bravery of children. It's about the child being able to call the emperor on his BS because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know enough to be afraid of the backlash. So it's more the absence of fear than it is the courage. But anyway, that's the point of that notwithstanding.
He
says, I've been looking for that brave child. And Rebecca delivers the great response, which is, I'll let you say it.
He's nude, sir. Buck naked. I don't think I did it justice. I tried. But it's just the way she says it with such passion. Buck naked.
He's nude. Buck naked. It's like so funny. And
she has a little gleam in her eye, too, and really this whole scene, but especially that part. She just has such zeal.
It's like the golden apple is, like, right in her grasp. She's like, this is it. This is my moment. It's right there. And she sees it, and he's like, he offers her this executive position. He's like, can you start, can you join my team? She's like, yes. Can you do all this? Yes. Can you start Monday? Or can you accept triple salary or three times
triple
the salary?
Triple raise or something like that. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, of course I can. And she's like, this is my dream come true. And the door barges open, and half a dozen FBI agents walk in. They're like, Mr. Anwalt, you're under arrest for insider trading. And she's like, what? And the walls just start crumbling down. She's like, no.
She's even like holding her stomach and doubling over when this is going on,
she's
too.
Like, she's like, I can't believe this. And she's like, no, please stop. Please don't do this. She's like, and she's like pleading for this guy's case. She's like, you just stop. This man is innocent. And it's just like, no, they got me dead to rights.
Nah.
And they whisk him out of there with some reports and like files and everything like that. And they just leave her in the dust. And she's just standing there. And like,
she's saying too, Oh, sorry.
I was just saying, like, as fast as she got everything, she loses it again.
It's like this whirlwind.
And I think that's kind of why you mentioned, like, the dream-like quality of this whole scene.
Right.
Like, was any of this real?
That's what I wonder. But also, like, when he's being dragged off, she's kind of whining. She's like, I'll wait for you. I'll be standing right here waiting for you, sir. It's almost like... It's like a she doesn't mean it romantically, but it's almost like a romantic relationship. Like he's going off to war and she's going to be right there waiting when he comes back. It's at that completion in her mind of like the business and the relationship. It's like, what? She's going to have fidelity for this CEO.
Like,
to write
up a contract and follow him out and just get him to sign it in his handcuffs. Put this in writing so I can, the next CEO, I can show him that, no, I got this new title.
Yeah.
But
that whole part from the really all of it, like in that office scene, but especially when she turns back around and is talking to him and saying, when she's like, what do you want now? And, you know, she said, the emperor has no clothes. He's buck naked and getting what she wants. And all of this does seem, I mean, I don't mean that they literally wrote it like it's a dream sequence, because Cheers is just not that, you know, type of show. But it does seem like it's something in her mind that she's made up, like, this is what I would want my life to be. And then in her mind also, like, spirals back and takes it away from her.
Yeah. No, you don't get this, Rebecca. Like, even her mind won't allow this to come true. It's like something about her own psyche sabotages her and, like, won't indulge this fantasy. Like, you don't deserve this, you poor creature. The finale of this, like the little epilogue, she just stands there looking off, like, I think I'm the unluckiest person on earth. And she just kind of wanders out. And
you hear the rainstorm coming down behind her.
Yeah, it's like a rainstorm, like, to kind of like put a cap around the atmosphere, the mood of what's going on in her mind, where now a thunderstorm is going on and everything with rain. And the camera just kind of pans back to the other side of the office where rain is pelting the windows. And the scaffolding comes up back into view, and Norm is trapped out there in the rain, pounding on the window, trying to get that thing to work.
He's still fiddling with
it, he's stuck on the side of a high rise in a rainstorm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, tons of fun. The other guest cast members, the security guard who just has that really brief little scene, is played by Richard Epcar, who has a lot of voiceover work in a lot of like video games and animation stuff. I noticed that. Which is interesting. The lead FBI agent, Agent Adams, is played by Ralph Myring Jr., who was in 10 episodes of The West Wing, which was my other favorite show. He was also in shows like X-Files, Presidio Med, Without a Trace. A lot of cool stuff. Yeah, this is, again, like, just because I saw this at, like, an impressionable age when I was falling in love with this show for the first time, like, just the image of Norm stuck on the scaffolding, like, trying to, like, outside the office, just kind of resonated, stuck with me for a while. And then they're just like, the Emperor has no clothes. He's nude.
Nude, sir. I think at least the visual of Norm I probably remembered when I started watching Cheers again. I'm the same way. Like, I'll have episodes, or I had episodes that there'd be something that stuck out that I remembered from watching it originally, like once it kind of, you know, got into the years that I knew.
For Norm's tab, speaking of him, he had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to the nice round number of 650 for the series up to this point.
Not quite 100 a season, though.
Not yet. No, we're not there. I think...
No, I guess, well, 6.5. Yeah, about, think, probably almost, though, yeah.
I think only one season so far he has had more than 100. Was it last season? Maybe it was season 6. Maybe it was last season he had more than 100 in that one season. But other than that, it's been a little bit shy of that. For the employee of the week, this was a Rebecca episode, and she shined.
Yeah.
She was really good. Everybody else had their great parts. Frazier had great bits. Norm, Sam, they all did the nice little parts. But I thought this was a nice Rebecca episode. Yeah,
same with me. I think there are other people. Like, I like the spice that Frazier adds to little stories and so forth. And Norm was great, too, in that. But it is her episode. It becomes more about her. It's interesting because it starts off, you think it's going to be more about him, and then it really becomes her story. And she was great, I think.
For the home run, I mean, I think I purposely took out the teaser. I was like, what's the funniest part aside from the teaser for this one?
Right.
And I go back just that moment. It's like, this man is innocent. Now they got me dead to rights.
Like,
how quick. She's pleading. She's grasping at something to save this golden opportunity she has. And the one guy she's reaching to for help is just like, nope. It's like, no, I can't help you. I am totally guilty. You're stuck.
So, yeah. I think mine would have to be that he's nude, sir, buck naked.
Yeah.
Is the best. Although I would give an honorable mention to Frasier's. Gee, that was ironic, wasn't it?
That was my runner-up.
Really, that gets me every time.
That was my runner-up, yeah. Gee, that was sort of ironic, wasn't it, Sam?
It's just the perfect cap to his Sam story. Yeah. Can I mention one other thing that I noticed I like about the... Okay. Because you had mentioned earlier that Sam and Rebecca really aren't on very much of the episode together. Like, their stories don't intersect in any way. But I think what I notice is there's kind of a comparison in that both of them are trying to take on these partners that don't really want to be involved with them. And with neither one of them does it work out. So I like that sort of parallel that they brought into the two stories. Like, they're kind of cajoling the people to do stuff with them, essentially.
Yeah, maybe sort of to kind of macro extent to fit into a world that they're maybe not suited for.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
But a funny episode as always, and thank you very much for helping me cover this one. Marlene, where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, now, as you mentioned, I have my own Cheers podcast, which is called Norm, a Cheers podcast. And it's a friend of mine that's never watched Cheers, and then me. And so it's the two of us. We don't have other guests. We're going through the whole series. So it has a lot. It owes a lot to your show, but then we have kind of our own discussion since it's like his fresh impressions versus mine. So that's what we're doing.
And you've probably passed me by now, haven't you? Where are you in the show?
In the airing, we're on season 8.
Okay, yeah.
I decided how many years I can get, because I mean, I love it. I've had the best time doing it, but I'm doing it because obviously, like, I can't be on your show every week, not every episode of Cheers, and I want to, so we're doing that. But then also I was like, I think about 5-ish years is what I can consistently give to a project. So we'll air more than sometimes like an episode will be like 2 Cheers episodes in one to try to keep it within that framework.
No, I get it. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would have you every week, except I got so many other people making that request to me. So
I gotta
please everybody, but I will definitely have you
and
back.
You get interesting insights from all the people that you have on too.
I'll have you back next season too. So until then, thanks again for being on my guest on this episode, and thanks to everybody else out there who listens to Cheerscast and supports the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of PowerPack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
I have a lot of nerve talking to me like that. This company was built on nerve. Not enough young people have the guts to stand up and say what they're really thinking. I've been looking for that brave child who wouldn't be afraid to say, the Emperor has no clothes.
He's nude, sir. Buck naked.